Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
This Friday morning, yes, January 31st, a little slipping and sliding and drizzle out there. We'll have the full forecast on this kind of a warm, wet Friday for you. I'll begin with the latest as far as NTSB investigators. And they are now saying that they are assuring that they will find answers. They have recovered the black box, as it's called. We know the latest on this plane carrying 60 passengers, four crew members, that we told you all yesterday. It was a breaking news story that it collided with that Army helicopter while landing, of course, at Ronald Reagan National Airport right near Washington, D.C., Wednesday evening. And then yesterday, the news was breaking, as it was heartbreaking information that we were finding out that, in fact, those rescue crews realized that it became a recovery mission. There was no hope that they would pull anyone alive from the frigid waters of the Potomac. So a huge search and rescue operation that had been launched right nearby the Potomac River and then became that recovery mission. All day news conferences, not only the president as well as his new cabinet, brand new on the job, many of them, but also investigators and those heroic search crews, those first responders from multiple states. But we know that the NTSB says that the public, there will be no stone left unturned in this probe into exactly what happened. And they do expect, and they're putting this out here, that they will expect a report, at least a preliminary report, within 30 days.
It already seems like that they're saying staffing shortages were in play as well, that they were understaffed, which, you know, we can certainly get into as to why that is coming up.
But yeah, one of the headlines that you're hearing this morning is that apparently the manager there in the air traffic control tower had let somebody go home early. And so one person was doing the job of two.
Mm-hmm.
And they're listening to the tapes. There is a lot of back and forth, and everybody wants to, you know, be a Monday morning quarterback about it, if you will. But they have to be thorough on the situation. And, of course, the Federal Aviation Administration confirming that this regional jet colliding midair with that Sikorsky H-60 chopper while on approach to runway 33, Reagan Washington National Airport, happened around 9 o'clock. That commercial aircraft, and here's what we're learning more in the local connections, because there were many people with connections to our area on that American Airlines flight that had originated from Wichita, Kansas. And so among them, we know that there were many famous or champion figure skaters that were aboard there. They were coming from Kansas. And so we know that the wife of skating coach Alexander Kursunov confirmed her husband was on the plane. So Natalia Gudin said that her husband was with two young ice skaters on board the flight. Those skaters, Sean Kay and Angela Yang, who have ties to the University of Delaware Figure Skating Club. Now, these are kids, but mm-hmm. obviously these clubs, much like you, I imagine you and Kristen relate to this because your girls are involved in national dance competitions.
They travel. Luckily, it's, well, maybe not luckily. They travel by car, which is actually more dangerous than, you know, flying. But yes, they do regional stuff. When they were in Tennessee, they traveled to the Carolinas, Alabama, Georgia. And they'll be doing that up here from Pennsylvania to New Jersey to Delaware.
So it's a community,
mm-hmm.
and that's why oftentimes you get to know people from across the country, and certainly you know the coaches, and these are the star athletes, right? So you know those ones that are the champions, and then we talked yesterday about the Russian champion couple, so we have that going on. So a lot of reaction locally from our Philadelphia and Delaware skating club communities as they talk about and pay tribute to these victims, just heartbroken and absolutely devastated. So we have that going on. There's also a story, and I'll pivot a little bit here. There's a lot of local news. We have Tony Watlington, our local school superintendent here in Philadelphia, releasing his State of Education report and saying, well, we're improving. So we're not where we need to be, but post-pandemic, we know that those numbers have been very low and concerning. So now he's saying, we are getting better, Philadelphia. So is that a C plus? I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering. There's nowhere to go from the bottom, right? I mean, you can't get any lower, I would imagine, although probably in theory they could, but without specifics, you know, that doesn't do much for me. Yeah. Feels like more like lip service.
We got that going on. We also have another story that we have going on for you this morning. And that is the updates on all of these ICE raids that we've talked about. So we know that there were 7 arrested in Philadelphia. Haven't heard a lot of details on those ICE raids. But I will tell you that there are reports in Chester County, a lot of family in Chester County, of these, they're fake ICE volunteer people. And they are stirring up and upsetting the immigrant community there. So there are reports out of Chester County that Pennsylvania's immigrant company immigrant community, I should say, as they worry about the Trump administration, Tom Homan, all of the news and the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is up with this? Are there those posers as fake ICE?
Well, I mean, if it's true, that's against the law.
Yeah, you're posing as a federal right law enforcement agency.
Yeah. Let the professionals handle it if that's true. Just sit down. Seriously.
So,
just crack a cold one and let Tom Homan and Kristi Noem handle it. I think they're on a nice ratio and a nice pace through 7 or 8 days.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. And this is under investigation because, to your point, it's a federal crime, but also we do have some confirmation from some of the local law enforcement there, and even WCU, Westchester University, put out a statement that there were reports of this vehicle mm-hmm. that looks like an official vehicle,
sure.
somebody claiming. So they did capture it on video. They're releasing pictures of it. They're saying this is fake. This is not real law enforcement. So what are they up to?
More vigilantes?
We really don't know. We don't have all the answers to that.
Uh-oh.
So. That's under, yeah. I mean, is it usually, you know, usually when somebody, I don't know, when you think of law enforcement, they're trying to pull over young women and mm-hmm. bad stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's what I think of.
Right. With those little fake blue lights
yeah.
they put on top of their car.
So I'm not sure. And they're investigating it.
Right.
The Flyers, locked out again. I know we have Brandon Graham news, and that's exciting that he is
like
really be playing.
Yes. Yeah, it's looking like a distinct possibility.
So that's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather. It's warmer today. I know it's wet and warm, nearly 50 degrees today, but unfortunately rainy. A lot of accidents and fender benders out there we're hearing about, so just slow down, be careful. A lot of slipping and sliding. But for your weekend, the sun comes back out. Saturday, 41 degrees. Sunday, 42. By Monday, and yes, as Nick Hale said, we'll be into February. We're looking at 54 degrees and sunny skies. For your Monday.
Please don't go below
Sweet.
50 again. Never. I don't want anything below 50 for the rest of the winter. Can we just go 50 and above until we get to April? I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, February's coming in quite warm, so nice. First Bank is our sponsor, ready to drive your business's success with a trusted local partner. You can count on First Bank for personalized support, smart solutions, help your business grow. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com. You can learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, Kellen Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:13 Friday morning. Let's wrap up the week with one more big take.
The Big Take on Kellen Company.
All right, the big take this morning, straight cash and grilling with Gabbard. When you go back and you look at all of Donald Trump's nominations for his administration, you have to give it up for how his selections have handled their Senate confirmation hearings. I wouldn't give it an A+, but considering all of the firepower that Democrats have, it is safe to say that this entire process has gone very well for the Trump team. Sure, Matt Gaetz never survived. Maybe that was intentional on the Trump side. Hegseth definitely has character flaws, and Bobby made a few mistakes along the way, but I would give this group a 9 out of 10 from top to bottom. And here's my big picture observation. The Democrats who questioned them, they came off as emotionally unhinged idiots stuck in their feelings. Trump's picks were very prepared. They were cool, calm, collected, and handled themselves incredibly well under fire. And yesterday was no different, as Kash Patel had his moment in the sun as he looks to head up the FBI, and Tulsi Gabbard aims to lead national intelligence. Kash Patel, super composed and he picked apart methodically all of their attacks. Tulsi, I believe, was the aggressor early on, establishing a tone that she, as a female, would not be bullied by any senators who think she can't handle this uber-important role. Two different strategies, but both were successful. Here was Kash Patel, first of all, with Louisiana Senator John Kennedy. Listen and watch this, Jim.
If you're not ticking off some people, you're not doing your job right.
My colleague and friend, Senator Durbin, called you a conspiracy theorist. You remember that?
I do, Senator.
You were instrumental in revealing that the Trump-Russia election collusion hoax was a hoax, weren't you?
Yes, sir. I was a lead investigator.
Sounds to me like we need to get some new conspiracy theories because all the old ones turned out to be true.
Wow. Cash and Kennedy off the top rope. Kash Patel exposed the corruption and the rot behind the biggest scam of the first Trump term. But there's more. Kash Patel, also the man who exposed the illegal spying by the FBI on Donald Trump as well. And the truth is, he knows where the bodies are buried. And he gives the deep state a deep state of anxiety and heartburn. But under Kash Patel, the FBI, they're going to get back to doing what you're supposed to do. That's being a cop. No more weaponized government and no more political lawfare. Listen and watch Kash.
Senator, this may be one of the scenarios that most uniquely qualifies me to take command at the FBI. Having been the victim of government overreach and a weaponized system of justice and law enforcement, I know what it feels like to have the full weight of the United States government barreling down on you. And as the Biden Inspector General determined, those activities by the FBI and DOJ were wholly improper and not predicated upon law and facts. I will ensure, if confirmed, that no American is subjected to that kind of torment, to that kind of cost, financially and personally. And most importantly, I will make sure that no American is subjected to death threats like I was and subjected to moving their residences like I was because of government overreach, because of leaks of information about my personal status. If confirmed as FBI director, Mr. Chairman, you have my commitment that no one in this country will feel that pain.
Wow. Kash Patel on fire yesterday. And how about the resume? Chief of Staff to the Department of Defense, Deputy Director of National Intelligence, Deputy Assistant to the President of National Security Council, and National Security Prosecutor at the DOJ, as well as starting off his career as a public defender. Find me someone more qualified, who is not contaminated, who has bigger balls than this guy. The Super Bowl is coming up with our Eagles in New Orleans. What is Patel ready to do to serve our country and secure it? Listen and watch this.
The recent terrorist attacks in New Orleans tragically claimed the lives of 14 innocent Americans and serve as a stark reminder that our national security is at threat, both internally and externally. The FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and the Department of Justice, where I served, play a pivotal role in securing our freedoms and our safeties for American citizens. If confirmed as the next FBI director, I will remain focused on the FBI's core mission. That is to investigate fully wherever there is a constitutional factual basis to do so, and to never make a prosecutorial decision that is solely the providence of the Department of Justice and the Attorney General.
Patel is getting confirmed. I think you can cash that wager right now. Now we get to Tulsi Gabbard, another former Democrat, just like Elon Musk and RFK Jr., who jumped ship to save America from the ruin of today's modern, radicalized, far-left Democrat Party that doesn't resonate with these individuals anymore. Tulsi touted her record of independence yesterday at her Senate confirmation hearing, and she refuses to be called a foreign asset or a puppet for anybody. Listen and watch.
The fact is, what truly unsettles my political opponents is I refuse to be their puppet. I have no love for Assad or Gaddafi or any dictator. I just hate Al-Qaeda. I hate that We have leaders who cozy up to Islamist extremists, minimizing them to so-called rebels. As Jake Sullivan said to Hillary Clinton, quote, Al-Qaeda is on our side in Syria. Well, Syria is now controlled by an Al-Qaeda offshoot, HTS, led by an Islamist jihadist who danced in the streets on 9/11 and who was responsible for the killing of many American service members.
If you don't buy what Tulsi is selling, maybe you'll believe the vetting that Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas has done on the future director of national intelligence. Listen and watch Cotton.
I'm dismayed by the attacks on Ms. Gabbard's patriotism and her loyalty to our country. For instance, Hillary Clinton has smeared Ms. Gabbard, calling her an asset of a foreign nation. Let me remind everyone that Ms. Gabbard has served in our Army for more than two decades. She has multiple combat tours, and she still wears the uniform to this day. She has undergone five FBI background checks. I spent more than 2 hours last week reviewing the latest, putting eyes on more than 300 pages. It's clean as a whistle. It's fine that we have differences of opinions on policies and programs. I suspect some of my Republican colleagues might disagree with some of Mrs. Gabbard's votes in the House of Representatives, just as I suspect that some of my Democratic colleagues might criticize Ms. Gabbard's statements and actions since she saw the light and left the Democratic Party. But I sincerely hope that no one today will impugn Ms. Gabbard's patriotism and integrity.
Tulsi Gabbard is America first through and through, and I too think that she will get confirmed. As of yesterday, Kalshi, a New York-based odds and betting market similar to Poly Market that we cited in the fall leading up to the election with election odds between Trump and Kamala, had the following percentages for confirmation. RFK Jr., 62% chance to be confirmed. Tulsi Gabbard, 65%. Cash Patel, 93%. But fear not on Bobby and Tulsi. Donald Trump has recess appointments in his back pocket should they become necessary to utilize. And the swamp is terrified. The deep state, petrified. Two former Democrats and the man who exposed the Russia hoax for being exactly what it was, a hoax. All with zero Fs given. All ready to strip away the rust, ready to gut things from the inside out, all ready to eradicate the rot to the best of their abilities in the departments that they are gunning for. And if you think left-wingers and the mainstream media are freaking out now over Trump's deportation operation that is underway, his eradicating of DEI, his position on school choice, his ending of gender insanity, and countless other things that he has done in just 8 full days, just wait until prices start to drop with our cost of living crisis and the two wars overseas come to a close. The mental health of Democrats, already eroding before our very eyes, will quickly turn into a stage 5 TDS endemic. American citizens shouldn't fear Bobby, Tulsi, or Cash, but those who are the corrupt actors in Washington, they absolutely should. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, if you want to jump in, you can do so. 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in our YouTube chat, just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Hit the like and subscribe buttons. Get Dawn's thoughts on the other side for Tulsi's performance, as well as first impressions from Cash Patel yesterday. And then we will delve very deep here into the worst airline disaster and tragedy of the last 15 years. It took less than 24 hours before the fingers started to be pointed. We'll make sense of it all when we come back. It's Kale & Company, Nick Kale and Dawn Stenslin. Back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We'll get to the airline stuff here coming up in a moment. I'm seeing some of the highlights on television right now with the split screen of Tulsi and Cash Patel. Your thoughts yesterday on the performance of both?
I thought that they were phenomenal. Cash Patel, and I did see somewhere, Senator Ted Cruz said they have the votes. So he confidently has said Kash Patel is he's bank.
Mm-hmm.
He's in. So I did see that. And I believe the same is true for Tulsi Gabbard. I think they'll both get in. I do. I also thought that Joni Ernst, who, you know, she's somebody, she is somebody who works across the aisle.
Yeah, she's got a lot of stroke.
And, yeah, so I think that her introduction of Tulsi Gabbard, I mean, just the introductions from a Democrat and a Republican, you know, and then moving forward, I just thought it was a slam. I just think I love her voice. I think she is incredible. So I thought both of them were very impressive. I would agree with you.
You can
sorry
see.
To be boring.
No.
Usually Greg is the one who disagrees and makes it interesting.
Well, so. Greg's listening on the app right now, yelling into the phone, saying, somebody disagree on something, please. but I this is why I thought that Tulsi was vice presidential material. She just presents so incredibly well. Mm-hmm. Cool, calm, confident, well-spoken, veteran. You know, she's, you know, as Tom Cotton said, she's seen the light. She's flipped from D to R. And again, you know, it's not like she's a staunch conservative by any stretch. That's obviously not the case. Mm-hmm. I was also reading about how she's been slandered by those on the left for her religious beliefs. I believe she's of Hindu faith. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of these things where, boy, when she was a Democrat, you know, if you questioned her religion or her faith, you were a hater. Now she's a Republican, so it's fair game where you can kind of bring all of this out yesterday. And she was talking about her religion and things like that. So I just thought, especially early on, she came out and I was expecting, and I said this yesterday, cool, calm, but she really set the tone. I think and Dawn, you could probably speak to this. You know, she probably, and even though she's a seasoned veteran in politics to some extent, mm-hmm. you probably had to be of the belief of, okay, I need to come out and show some backbone and some strength right away and not allow any of these people that are trying to tear me down to intimidate me as a female who wants to become the director of national intelligence in this country. Mm-hmm. So I think there was probably this, I'm going to confirm and verify just how tough I am from a female standpoint, which, by the way, multiple tours of duty. And if you've ever seen the highlights of her on social media at the shooting range, it's nothing like me at King Shooters on Sunday. I'll put it that way. Yeah, maybe King Shooters should call her. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, and that's another piece of it, when people say, oh, the Trump administration is lily white or that sort of thing. You have two top tier individuals that Trump wants on his cabinet, both Kash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard. They're both Hindu.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Right.
And both of them, I guess you could say, are in that, you know, what they call the black and brown community, which I hate all those broad brushstrokes that we talk about. But I think that...
I think Kash Patel's got some Middle Eastern blood in him.
Well, his parents are of Indian heritage. Mm-hmm. But remember, he said they're from Africa. I mean, they were actually in Uganda. And then that was Idi Amin. They were persecuted and left that, you know, war-torn area. So
Right. Here's
somebody, I mean, like you said, he is tough. He is fantastic. He's qualified. I have no doubt that these two, but especially Kash Patel, that they're money in the bank. I don't know about RFK Jr. I know there are still some questions about him and his.
That was my concern. I thought he'd be the toughest one. I still think he's going to get through at least by a recess appointment. But man, yeah, I mean, you look at the odds. He is, if you believe the odds, he's in Kash Patel 93%, Tulsi Gabbard 65%, Bobby 62%.
I just think RFK Jr., in truth, is too much of a trophy because I have to say this, he's too much of a trophy because he's a Kennedy. And I think that no matter what, I 100% believe that he will be somewhere in this administration. Even like I said before, if Trump makes him a czar of something,
mm-hmm.
the nutrition czar, whatever you want to say, because it's just a thorn in, you see the Democrats.
Too much of a lightning rod?
It is.
Too much baggage?
He's a Kennedy. He's RFK Jr.
Is he a distraction?
It makes them crazy.
Is he a distraction for the administration?
No.
Okay.
If he's not a
distraction, and we've seen Trump just basically saying, this is what I was running on, I won, and I'm going to do it. I just find it hard to believe that he wouldn't use the recess. And I was actually shocked when I researched it that he didn't use a recess appointment in his first term. I find that to be staggering.
I don't think he's going to go that route. I really don't. I think that he has the power And plus that he knows the ratings. You know what I mean? That's because he loves television and he loves ratings. So he knows that that RFK Jr.'s skill set, his wheelhouse, mm-hmm. and where people just love him. It's all about nutrition labels, right. Health, right?
Yep.
So that's what you make them. Just make them the, make them the.
Yeah.
And then who do you choose? I don't know, Nicole Sapphire.
She's a very sharp doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So get somebody else in there and then make him a czar of nutrition labels, whatever.
You give him basically the Tom Homan label while you give the official title to somebody else like Christy Noem, yeah. is basically what you're saying. Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Look, I mean, as long as we have people with the same passion as Bobby, with the same vision and end goal of putting the scare and the stare of death into big food and big pharma and making us a healthier nation, I'm fine with it. You can give him the health czar title as long as he's a part of it, because I do think he's on to many things that are correct. And there's other things that he's completely off base on, or that is still kind of, unable to be verified one way or the other, despite countless studies. Let's get to the FAA. And Dawn, you've been reporting on this for the last 2 days, worst airline tragedy since at least 2009. And I was reading a lot of different pilot opinions yesterday, those that have 20, 30, 40 years of aviation experience. And I think we can obviously rule out terrorism at this point. We haven't heard any speculation about that. I think we can rule out mechanical, electrical, or structural failure. This is not a Boeing issue or the engine or the wing malfunctions. This appears to be either a staffing shortage or what's also a lot of experts have said, a communication failure and a comprehension of instructions between air traffic control, the helicopter pilot, and other human beings involved. This appears to be human error. And I don't think you can blame DEI yet, because we don't know the identity, at least to my knowledge, of the pilots or the air traffic controller, when they were hired, how much experience they have, what their gender is, things like that. So we don't know the identities, resumes, qualifications, and history of employment with these people. But that didn't stop CNN from playing their usual card of blaming Donald Trump. I want to play you a clip of Caitlin Collins in a moment, as well as Bakari Sellers.
Nick. Now I have to play the Greg Stocker role a little bit, because he would have been all over you.
Go ahead.
So Caitlin Collins is on in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
She was responding to what Trump said in his his news conference
about the water. What am I going to go? Am I going to go swimming?
No, I mean, Trump, what he said, he was perfect in the first. He was perfect in his first part of his news conference. Mm-hmm. But then he went there and he talked about DEI.
Right.
He did talk about that.
Which is a possibility.
And
it's just too premature to absolutely
pinpoint.
He did. But let me play you this. Phil, this is Caitlin Collins, I believe, clip. I've got 45 packets here. Caitlin Collins, clip K2, if you could.
We don't even yet know the names of the 67 people who were killed, and you are blaming Democrats and DEI policies and air traffic control and seemingly the member of the U.S. military who was flying that Black Hawk helicopter. Don't you think you're getting ahead of the investigation now?
No, I don't think so at all. I don't think were the names of the people. You mean the names of the people that are on the plane? You think that's going to make a difference?
They are a group of people
that have lost their lives. If you want a list of the names, we can give you that. We'll be giving that very soon. We're in coordination with American Airlines. We're in coordination very strongly, obviously, with the military. But I think that's not a very smart question. I'm surprised coming from you.
I'm surprised. So she's asking that after her colleague at CNN, Bakari Sellers, immediately blamed Trump's rollback of DEI for this crash. Bakari Sellers, who I believe, and I've never watched Bakari Sellers, but I see his tweets from time to time when conservative people spar with him on X. I'm guessing he does probably the Scott Jennings 10 o'clock show with Abby Phillip. He's like a contributor, mm-hmm. round table panelist type guy. And he screen grabbed a picture, and Phil's going to show it right here. Democrats-transportation.house.gov. Trump's dangerous freeze of air traffic control hiring, and he captioned it and said 8 days ago. Now, the picture is from January 29th. Obviously, Trump took over January 21st. That's the reference to 8 days ago. Nothing Trump has done with DEI or hiring freeze has had zero impact on that collision. There's 0% likelihood that Donald Trump has anything to do with this tragedy. But from a mathematical percentage standpoint, it is far more likely, and again, I don't know that this is at the hands of DEI with less than qualified individuals, but the DEI rollbacks with the Federal Aviation Administration, or I shouldn't even say rollbacks, the implementation of DEI practices in the FAA goes back 11 years to Barack Obama, and then it was accelerated under Joe Biden. If you follow one of these really great informational threads on Twitter, Amuse, A-M-U-S-E, he's got a long breakdown of how Democrats and DEI within the FAA has made air travel less safe in America than ever before. And he's got countless statistics on this thread. I'll retweet it during the break. There has been a record of near-miss incidents on the ground. Major airports have become the site of a ton of close calls, and they started rolling back. And if you're a pilot or if you have any flying experience, you've probably taken the AT-SAT training exam. And since 2014, the FAA sidelined this exam, which basically was your test to prove that you're ready to fly a plane at this level commercially in the United States and around the planet. And according to this report, over 3,000 highly qualified CTI graduates, many of whom had already demonstrated superior aptitude, were summarily dismissed in favor of candidates who better aligned with racial and gender quotas. In fact, there are people, and I don't know that this is true, so take that with a grain of salt, but under Mayor Pete, I was told from multiple people that he hired intellectually disabled people to run air traffic control. This is also a guy who just kind of...
Yeah, but Nick, the air traffic control, they've come out... Okay, a couple of things I'm going to say.
Yeah.
First of all, the FAA, Michael Whitaker, he had resigned on the 20th, which I'd have to look back and see, is that normal? I guess Elon Musk had been critical of him and others.
Yeah.
Because... So, but as far as the FAA, to my knowledge, I don't think what the reporting is, and maybe it's biased. So all the reporting says, and the FAA has come out and they've said that because of the nature of their jobs, that they are not subjected to these DEI mandates. That's the talking point. That's what they claim.
Subjected as in forced to initiate them.
That's what the allegation is.
Okay.
Here, that's the claim, I should say, not an allegation. That's the claim by the FAA officials. But remember, you don't have a chief right now because now you'll get Trump's person in.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, here's what I'm going to say about all of it with Trump. Everybody, I love Trump. I do. And so this is my phone blowing up while I was on air yesterday because Trump was late. He was supposed to come on at 11. I don't know what was going on. Then they come on at 11:21. And the first like 10 minutes were perfect. He was empathetic and it was really beautifully written. And then he went rogue and that's what I mean. I could read you some of my girlfriends one of my girlfriends who told my boys, you're allowed to date liberal girls, but don't you marry one. You know what I mean? You'll mess up the family. Like, you know what I mean? These are like the most conservative, Trump MAGA mamas in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
My phone was blowing up when he started riffing about this and not because anybody thinks that he's wrong down the road.
Okay.
That he went on to say that he felt that Buttigieg was more distracted and concerned about DEI hires. And there are memos. They're all online.
Mm-hmm.
I should have sent them to you last night. We could do a whole thing on it, that the mandates that they want are that they've upped these now to more, that they want more than 12% of the total workforce to actually be, you know, a person with these various quote unquote disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like a mandate that they've had.
Can you imagine going to a place where they hire somebody with a disability that impacts your ability to possibly live? You know, I mean, like Jimmy Kelly, right? Jimmy, we love you. You're not you don't have necessarily the best vision on the planet, but you're not going to cost me my life. I mean, would you hire Jimmy Kelly to fly a Boeing 747 with all due respect?
Well, I think the question to Jimmy Kelly is, how would you feel if somebody said, oh, great, you're legally blind? great, you're at the top of the list. I mean, that's an insult to a professional who works really hard, takes a train to get to work, gets here at, 4:45 every morning.
I mean, would you hire a surgeon who can't use their hands to perform open heart surgery on you to hit a quota? I want a guy that can utilize his fingers properly with scalpels and, you know, when he's cutting open my chest bone. Like this is absurd that in professions where your safety is paramount, getting from point A to point B, we're hiring people with disabilities that could very well impact our livelihoods for the sake of diversity, mm-hmm. equity, and inclusion.
Jimmy Kelly,
it's outrageous.
Your comment, sir.
Well, I put it to you this way. Yeah, if you want me to fly a plane for the good of the show, we were talking a few days ago about me driving a snowmobile. For the good of the show, I would do it.
Right, right.
And if it's under supervision, then that's one thing. But you are correct because these hires that go on, and I remember when I was hired here being told, hey, we need to give you a chance to do this because under Americans with Disabilities Act, you would be within your right to sue us.
Correct.
And, okay, that's fine, ADA, but some of it goes way too far with these DEI hires, and people's lives are at stake.
That's my point.
I mean, people's lives are not at stake if something gets messed up here.
Right.
It stops the show a little bit.
Right, and then advertisers get mad. And we throw you under the bus.
Exactly. And we throw you literally under the bus.
Under the electric bus. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love electric school buses.
Yes, I know, Kamali. So do I.
So, and then I have Mayor Pete putting out this tweet. He says despicable.
Because he was attacked.
Yeah.
So Trump teed him up for a response.
But, all right, if I was in a court of law and I said, and you're my witness, Dawn, is it more likely than not that this is DEI and not the fault of Donald J. Trump? Is that a fair assessment?
That's not the point. The point is that Trump, when he came out, he's been perfect. Everything has been perfect in my opinion, and I think it has been exciting to see everything he's doing mm-hmm. in warp speed.
Yep.
And so he had this moment to bring the nation together in prayer, a moment of silence. What he said, like I say, in the opening, I don't know, 10 minutes was beautiful and heartfelt. And so why give the opening? Why call out Buttigieg? Do that later. Mm-hmm. Even have your people as they investigate. So I don't doubt that anything he said down the road, was this mismanaged and did they prioritize things they should not have? And they obviously know if somebody was let go early from work that day and one person, they know all that. So you know that's going to come out.
Right.
Let the others say that as they investigate. You be the president of the United States of America and bringing people together and really having that presidential moment where everybody in the nation loves you and mm-hmm. says, wow, that was, you know what, Trump was, that was beautiful. It was a beautiful moment. And that's what he was teed up for. But the problem is in those few moments where he said those things about Buttigieg, and I know, I get it. He's emotional. He's angry because he has all the stats. He has all these people reporting to him saying, this is the mismanagement and this is what, well, it all come out.
Right.
So I'm sure in that moment of emotion, it would be, perhaps for any of us to hard to restrain from that and mm-hmm. just say, dang it, these people should not have died.
Yeah.
But you can't go there because you know now the media, you've just given them the ball and it's like an interception mm-hmm. and you've given them that ball and now they're going to run with it. And they're not talking about any of the good stuff that he appropriately spoke about. This is the lead story.
It's just, it feels different this time around because he obviously was running on eliminating DEI. And then after being shot at, after the lawfare, the prosecutions, the court cases, he knows this is, his only term that he will be able to serve. And oh, by the way, you talk about giving the media something to run with. The media has never been less relevant than they are today. Nobody cares about I'm giving Bakari Sellers more love mm-hmm. right now by reading his tweet than people probably saw the tweet on social media. Yeah. And then he goes up and follows up by deleting that tweet, the 8 days ago tweet that Phil put up on YouTube. And he says, I deleted the post. And this actually plays into your line of rationale, Dawn. I deleted the post because timing matters. Politics at this point does not. Mm-hmm. I effed up. I own that. Yeah. I'm very prayerful, but I'm also very frustrated, upset, and disturbed where we are as a country. I recognize and will do better. The only thing that matters is rescuing the survivors and ensuring this never happens again. I mean, I'm disturbed by DEI. I think it's created, to me, and we cited that Michigan study at the University of Michigan. You know, DEI actually makes people more resentful and drives a further wedge between different genders and races and identities. So I just looked at it.
I agree with you, Nick, but I'm really just talking about not the content, but the timing of when he said what he said. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, no, I got it. Yeah.
I will say this to your point. It's such a fast news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are on Friday. And then, you know, so the news cycle changes. All the Sunday programs, you know, to your point about the media, because Trump did hold that last night news conference. And I think part of that was he was trying to update and that sort of thing. Nobody's even airing what he said, except the one snippet that he said around, I don't know, it was probably like 11:35 a.m.-ish. And so they're not even going with what he said much later in the day.
Yeah.
And so that's what they'll be playing Sunday. They'll try to, and that's, I would just say this. He had a moment where he got emotional and probably got aggravated that they've mismanaged something and policy matters. And when people mismanage the transportation of our nation, tragedy occurs. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that when you're at the top and you see, you know, because he's going to see things that will not be released for years. He gets briefed every day. And so I will just say this. He might have said something in that moment that was he was riffing a little bit. He definitely pulled it back later in the evening. But what about the media?
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't emotional. They didn't do something by mistake or you let something slip out of aggravation.
Mm-hmm.
This is purposeful.
Oh,
this is their directive. This is their mission. And that's, to me, what's evil about it.
Prime example of what you're talking about here. I'm not sure if the name resonates. Chris Brennan. He is a Philadelphia-based columnist for the USA Today that writes about politics. And I had no idea who this guy was until it popped up on my timeline. And he writes a column yesterday, 12 hours ago. Donald Trump returned to first-term form, reflexively rejecting accountability for anything awful that happens on his watch. He needed to deflect attention amid tragedy. With few actual facts available, he lazily targeted DEI, my USA Today column, which, by the way, USA Today lost 29% of their traffic in 2024, and nobody reads. But I gave him a little of attention right there. And that's what I'm talking about is, you know, Trump brings up DEI, and now the columns are, and that's fine. You know, you write about it, you talk about it, do whatever you want. But I think whether it's 30 days from now, I think you said preliminary report in 30 could take up to a year. I guarantee you it will have something to do, not necessarily perhaps with DEI, but shortages of staff, community, all of the ineptitude that we've had to live with for the last 4 years. And maybe even going back, this could be an Obama era hire. This could be a Biden era hire. I have no, this could be a Trump era hire. But if this is a communication failure, we have to get better in communication in 2025. I'll just wrap by saying this. I thought Buck Sexton had a really, really good based point. Former CIA agent who now does the Clay and Buck show, which is the old Rush Limbaugh time slot. He says, I've ridden in Black Hawk helicopters in war zones. One of the things that come into mind automatically, tragically with this situation, is that they are built to be stealthy. That is why they are so dark in color, and they are very, very difficult to see at night. So if we did have a communication breakdown between air traffic control, the pilot for American Airlines, and this Black Hawk helicopter, maybe that explains, and maybe we need to have a deeper conversation on, should we be conducting training exercises with Black Hawk helicopters in highly populated commercial airline areas like this airport in Arlington, Virginia? I don't know. I would think you'd want to do that in some kind of like isolated rogue area, would you not?
Well, no, they need to do those training exercises there. But the reports are coming out that there were something like 1,000 close calls and near misses, 1,000 over just the past year.
Yeah.
And so what they're saying is that this was sort of a disaster waiting to happen.
Yes.
I think that's the kind of thing I know that Trump was referring to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm simply saying that, you know, I know Caitlin Collins, like, she, you know, yeah. But she was truthfully,
right.
There was a piece of what she asked in there where she said, you know, as they're pulling these bodies from the water, I wish she would have asked it differently because she asks it with such apathy.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, so she sort of cancels herself out. But right. Had she do a Dawn question,
yes.
Right?
Did
she say, Mr. President, they're pulling the bodies of these victims out of the water.
WWDA, what would Dawn ask?
Is this too soon? Should we not be talking about this particular issue? Wait a bit. Next? You know what
yep.
I mean? Like if somebody who was like even fair
mm-hmm.
or friendly had asked it in a really empathetic way to say these families are being notified and we want you to speak to them. Like he would have immediately, I think at some point it did click with him
mm-hmm.
that you know, because he's so into it.
Yeah.
But I think she, you know, as if she could care less about the people being
sure.
pulled from, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
her apathy is annoying,
yes.
But some of her wording in her question was not wrong.
To your point of these close calls, over 1,000 runway near misses in this past year alone, Amuse highlights on X, in September 2024, Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 MAX 9 was forced to abort takeoff in Nashville to avoid colliding with a Southwest 737 that was mistakenly cleared to cross the active runway. A month later, October 2024, Delta Airlines Airbus A350 collided with Air CRJ-900 at Atlanta's airport, resulting in millions in damages and a full-scale investigation. And then right around Christmas, December 2024, a Delta jet at LAX nearly struck a private aircraft due to an air traffic controller's miscommunication, narrowly avoiding a tragic disaster. To what your point was, Dawn, we have been flirting on the edge of disaster for quite some time, and heads need to roll, and investigations need to be happening. All right, 855-839-1210. We'll come back. We'll get some news from Dawn. Final big story of the day, school choice, Donald Trump, also what occurred in Tennessee statewide, and then Joe Conklin is here. He's coming in here next, and we've got all sorts of good things lined up. Get ready to laugh if you're not already fired up. It's Kale and Company.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.